D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Congratulations to Mike from Hartsville. He won the final pair of Music City Bowl tickets that we were giving away this week. He answered this question correctly. Which quarterback holds the Music City Bowl record for most passing yards in a game? The answer? Aiden O'Connell.
What?
Aiden O'Connell.
Raiders.
Threw for 534 yards in Purdue's 48-45 overtime win against Tennessee in the 2021 Music City Bowl.
Aiden O'Connell has started some NFL games.
Yeah.
You never know who you're going to see at the Music City Bowl.
Quite the quarterback duel here. Aiden O'Connell, 534 yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Hendon Hooker, 378 yards, 5 touchdowns. It was a barn burner.
Yes,
a barn burner at Nissan Stadium. But Aiden O'Connell is the correct answer. So congratulations to Mike for winning those tickets. And congratulations to all of our listeners who won Music City Bowl tickets. I'm sure we'll have other things to give away. But we're tapped out of the Music City Bowl tickets. So you might have to find something else for your last-minute Christmas gift. Did you guys get all of your Christmas shopping done?
Yep. I'm done. Well, I got to get 2 gift cards. But other than that, I'm
Willie
done.
Willie sounds less certain.
Yeah,
he's
never
finished to the last moment.
I don't see how you get it done. They'd be on the road so much,
too
man.
Too many games.
A lot of games. True. That's true.
Start doing your Christmas shopping like in June.
You should be good at that.
Start watching those Hallmark movies. Christmas in
right
July.
Around June, yeah.
Get in the spirit.
We do have college football playoff action tonight.
Yes.
Alabama at Oklahoma at 7 o'clock. A game you can hear right here.
And the new ownership guy from the Predators is
there
on
he
the
is.
Set. There he is.
There's Nick Saban.
He's not wearing a gold tie. Come on. Come on, Nick.
Come on, Saban.
Break out a Preds tie.
Nick Saban, by the way, will be addressing reporters alongside Bill Haslam on Monday at 1 p.m. at Bridgestone Arena. I am fascinated by what the two of them are going to say. And I'm interested in hearing Saban's reasons for joining the Predators ownership group. But if I am not mistaken, this is the first time that Bill Haslam is going to be in a news conference setting since becoming majority owner of the Nashville Predators, unless I'm clearly forgetting another news conference that he did.
A news conference? I don't remember.
But we've heard our friend Elliot Freeman, who joins us every Thursday, talk about how Haslam is learning the ropes of the NHL, how he's not quite ready. He hasn't been quite ready to talk about it, but he's going to be there on Monday. So I'm sure he's going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I am interested in hearing what they have to say. But college football playoff, first round game tonight, Alabama at Oklahoma, a 7 o'clock start. Oklahoma, of course, defeated Alabama in Tuscaloosa earlier this season, and that win basically put Oklahoma in the college football playoff. It's a matchup between Alabama's offense and Oklahoma's defense. Oklahoma isn't the easiest team to watch. They play outstanding defense. Their offense is...
They're grinders.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's not the most aesthetically pleasing football. But we are going to have 2 rematches in the first round of the CFP because Tulane did play Ole Miss earlier this year. But Willie, your thoughts on Oklahoma hosting Alabama and the 8-9 matchup in the first round of the college football playoff kick off in less than 2 hours.
I think this is a true coin flip type of game. What I want to see is if Alabama can get back to playing their best football. Like, they've really staggered down the stretch. And we see in sports sometimes, you can do that, and then you have new life in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But if they play like they've been playing, then I don't see how they're going to win. They haven't been in a good groove in a while. Oklahoma, I think you know, especially at home, they are going to play good defense. They're going to make it hard. If Alabama's got to be able to run the ball. It's so surprising to me that Alabama has that much trouble running, but that's been the case too many weeks for them.
Well, their last 2 games of the season, they had some tough outings. Obviously, they lost to Georgia, and they had you know, that Auburn game was a tough game in itself. If you look at this past game, the last Oklahoma and Alabama game, that was a close game. Alabama fumbled the ball that resulted in, I think, 7 points, and they threw in an interception that resulted in 10. So that was a 10-point swing. They end up losing, what, by 4 points? So can they go throughout the game without turning the football over? Because ultimately that's what lost them the game against Oklahoma on the first go around. That game was a tight game. But if you don't have those two turnovers, which ended up with points for Oklahoma, then theoretically you would think Alabama should have won that game. But they didn't play well down the stretch either, so it really didn't matter.
The yardage disadvantage for Oklahoma in the win against Alabama was 406 to 212. Oklahoma scored on a pick six. The Sooners blocked a field goal, and they got points from drives of 25 yards, 31 yards, and 22 yards. So,
and they were able to make Alabama basically one-dimensional, mm-hmm. right? Alabama had 80 yards rushing in the game, 28 of it on one run. And so there's something to be said. Like, Jim Schwartz used to say this all the time when he was with the Titans. The yards don't bother me. Because you look at Simpson, he had 326 yards passing against Oklahoma. What good did it do him? Not a lot. He said you can have the yardage in the middle of the field. It's all coming down to when you get around, he said, the 35-yard line. I think that will be big in this game.
Yeah, it will be, but I just thought Alabama played against Oklahoma to their strength. Oklahoma couldn't stop them from throwing the football. They, you know, stacked up the run and made it very difficult for Alabama to run the football. But Ty Simpson was able to do what he needed to do through the air. It was those costly turnovers that Alabama had. It ended up being a two-point game. It was those costly turnovers because the score is 14-17 going into halftime. And then after that, Alabama comes out, scores a touchdown. They're up 21-20. All this other stuff, if they don't have the turnovers and everything else, then Alabama, you look at the numbers, Alabama were the better team that game. Now, did Oklahoma learn from that? And are they going to change some things up? I'm pretty sure they will. But also, you look at it as if Alabama just plays mistake-free football, meaning no turnovers, then they should win this game.
How much pressure do you think is on Kalen DeBoer in this game? Remember the beginning of the season. Alabama loses to Florida State. That was a bad loss in hindsight. And remember, that was when the Powerball was through the roof. And there was a local news clip from Alabama of a woman who said, if I win the Powerball, I am going to pay Kalen DeBoer's buyout. That's how bad things were going in Tuscaloosa at the beginning of the season. They picked things up. Vanderbilt caught them at that time when Alabama was starting to peak. But to Willie's point, we always talk about this in the playoffs. Are you peaking at the right time? Alabama is not peaking at the right time. So DeBoer is 19-7 as Alabama coach, but it does feel like there's a lot of pressure on him in this game.
I feel like if Alabama doesn't turn it over in this game tonight, they'll find a way to win. I think they will be – their ceiling is better than Oklahoma. I'm giving Oklahoma full marks for grinding their way. They won the key games to get to this spot. But I still think there's something better in Alabama. But they've got to do it. They haven't looked good down the stretch.
Cameron says, Alabama is nothing special, but there's no chance Oklahoma replicates the way they won before. And I would agree with that. It took a special mm-hmm. set of circumstances for Oklahoma to win the way it did last time out. Again, excellent defense, but a lot went right for Oklahoma's defense in that game.
And more than that, I think Tennessee fans are going, let me show you the tape of the game in Knoxville, because the same thing happened there. But they found ways to win, and that counts.
The winner of this game, by the way, will take on Indiana, number one seeded Indiana in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. So the winner of Alabama and Oklahoma kick off at 7 o'clock right here on 102.5 The Game. The winner will advance to take on the Hoosiers on New Year's Day at the Rose Bowl. The game's tomorrow.
At the Rose Bowl.
At the Rose Bowl.
That's going to be interesting.
Yes. Mm. The game's tomorrow.
SEC.
Are you – let me ask you this question, Willie. Are you – well, these
– Bitter? Matter. Bitter, yes.
Well, yes.
No, I'm not bitter.
Are you a root for your conference? Now, in this game, it doesn't matter because both of these teams are in the SEC. But are you a root for your conference even if your team isn't in it kind of fan?
Ish. I'm a snob. I'm an SEC snob.
You are a snob.
Yeah.
That is true. The other games tomorrow, leading off with Miami at Texas A&M, Aggies favored by 3, 11 a.m., Tulane at Ole Miss favored by 17.5, 2:30 p.m., JMU at Oregon, Oregon favored by 20.5, last I checked, at 6:30 p.m.
Okay, here's going to be the interesting thing, and maybe nobody's really thought about it or put much stake into it. Ole Miss, they don't have their coach. How much of that is going to sort of filter over into the game?
I do think it'd be significant. Significant.
I'm surprised. What was the line? I guess there was no line because he stopped. But I wonder what would it have been if Lane was still coaching Ole Miss in this game compared to what it is now. I don't think – people just look at Tulane and say, they're going to lose. But maybe the changing of the coaches, it may, at least at the beginning, first half of the game, it may be a dogfight early on. And now Ole Miss may end up winning, you know, because they are the better team. But it may end up being closer than what people realize. I'm not predicting it well. But the change – not having your head coach in that situation, wasn't he their play caller?
I do think it can be a factor. And I'll give you one more. This is just me, but I said this after Texas looked bad against Ohio State. And Ohio State has a lot to do with that. Opening week, what did I say about Arch Manning? I would not have done the commercials, all the commercials that he did before the season started, before he had established himself as a star. Because I think it's a distraction, and I think it's got to weigh on you. I've done all this. They're paying all this money. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I got to go out and play well. Oh, I didn't play well. Man, well, maybe I'm not that good. I think that is a factor. Have you noticed that Trinidad Chambliss, who was an absolute unknown for all these years, now he's the guy. He just did a huge national commercial for, remember this whole thing about the transfer portal? He's transferring to whatever company he's doing. I forget if it's insurance or phone or whatever. He just got paid something probably that to supplement. What I don't know if he was a huge NIL pickup, how much they paid for him. He's a Division II quarterback. And now he's in the spotlight. He's a great story. He was overshadowed by Pavia, but what he has done for that team is pretty remarkable. But now he's in the spotlight. He's at a different stage of his career now. He's in the spotlight. I wonder how he plays.
By the way, offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr., among other coaches, will be coaching Ole Miss in the game.
See, that
was a big point of contention. How many of the guys?
They will be joining LSU.
But how much are
– But they're coaching Ole Miss in the
because
game.
Because they will not be there. Once this is over, they will not – So how much
they have
of
to be
them,
divided.
Exactly. How much of them are they going to be putting into Ole Miss? Like, that was stupid.
They're human,
That was
right?
crazy, like, to even – You kind of look at it and say, maybe they should have let Lane coach because now you got a coaching staff.
Kirk Herbstreit
that's going to be leaving with him in a minute. They're like, if they win, I know they want to win a national championship, but how invested can they be in this? So I don't know if everybody really thought about all of this that has gone on with Ole Miss and, you know, say, well, it's for sure Ole Miss is going to win this game.
I may want
to pump your brakes on that one.
Well, see, would we agree if they were playing anybody but Tulane in the field, this would get talked about way more.
Oh,
but it's
kind of
like, well, they'll be all right this week because they're playing Tulane. They already smoked Tulane.
But so that was with Lane Kiffin.
And it was a long time ago.
Yes.
Tulane may have improved a lot. There's a lot of really good tests, I think. It's a test. if you're Weiss or whoever these guys are, who are, you're still in, you want to do right by the kids, but you know your attention is divided. You can't clone yourself. You're doing two full-time jobs. LSU, you know they're going crazy. They spent all this money to get Kiffin, and they want stuff done. Who's in the transfer portal? Who's going to be your guy? That's some serious time management you got to work on there. So are you all in for this game?
And that's the question. Like,
it's a test.
Nobody really knows the answer until you see this team go out there and play. Because I guarantee you, I can see it right now. If Ole Miss is struggling, going in a half, the first thing is going throughout the whole broadcast, Lane Kiffin's not there. Was that a big distraction? Having the coaching staff stay minus Lane Kiffin. Maybe they should have let Lane. This is a distraction. I can hear it right now. And if they lose, oh my goodness. That is going to be on front page of every newspaper, talked about on every television station in regards to sports.
Now remember too, Tulane's coach.
He left too, didn't he?
Yeah, so what's his situation?
I believe he's coaching Tulane,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. John Sumrall.
So you would have to ask the same question.
Yeah.
Is he dialed in? And is he all
Where's
in
he
for
going?
His guys?
Where
Florida.
Is he going?
He's going to Florida.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I do think that's a challenge for him. Like, because even his players are like, oh, geez, he's leaving.
But at least the head coach stayed. In the other situation,
but you don't
head
think people
left.
From Gainesville like have a daily call? Okay, coach. You know, I know you got practice today. I know you got kind of a big game. It's a playoff game. But can we just talk for a minute?
But it helps if he wins. It helps sort of this. We hired the right guy.
Yeah.
If he wins, if he wins against Ole Miss,
it probably helps Florida.
Exactly. It helps Florida.
Quickly, any thoughts on the Miami at Texas A&M matchup? Tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central.
Marcel Reed. This is another team in Texas A&M mm-hmm. that won some great close games and then maybe didn't look great in the last few games. And then there's Miami, who was questioned a lot, who beat up on bad ACC teams. They did not play nearly the schedule that Texas A&M did. But Miami's got some talent. There's no way around that. Boy, I will take Texas A&M in this game.
This is a prove it game for Miami, just because of what you said. Though people don't think the schedule was tough enough. People think
they should
honestly,
be there.
They shouldn't be there. But then you look at A&M, and it's A&M is they're 11-1. Playing in the SEC, but people stopped talking about them. It was like they just kind of fell off a little.
They got smoked by Texas, and everybody's like,
and everybody just kind of left them alone. Like,
they
okay.
didn't play in the SEC title game because of that loss to Texas, so they probably would have played the following weekend, but they didn't.
Yeah, and so I wonder if they like that deal, that trade-off.
Mm-hmm. You end up playing
the same amount of games, mm-hmm. but now instead of playing the SEC championship game, now you play – You get the rest, but now you get to win four playoff games. I wonder how they felt about that, especially as they took the field against Texas, because they didn't have to win that game.
The winner of Miami and Texas A&M will face Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Eve. The winner of Tulane and Ole Miss will take on Georgia at the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day. As I mentioned previously, Alabama, Oklahoma, which starts at 7 o'clock, winner takes on Indiana at the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. The winner of James Madison in Oregon takes on Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl.
Okay, so if Texas A&M wins, they play Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl?
Correct.
Now, you think they're going to have a few fans in the Cotton Bowl if they get there?
Oh, yeah.
Now, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Very.
Yes. We'll see what happens. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the first round of the college football playoff. That begins tonight, Alabama at Oklahoma. You can watch that game on ESPN. You can listen to that game right here on 102.5 The Game starting at 7 o'clock. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to do a Titans-related exercise that Willie brought up earlier in the week. Which veterans should the Titans consider keeping past this season? And we're not just talking about the free agents. We're talking about players under contract as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Is this one of yours, Willie?
It is. Louis B. Armstrong?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You can hear it.
Groovin'. What?
That's a good one. It's a good
is
one.
Is that you, Santa Claus?
That was pretty good.
Oh, there's Blues. A good. It kicks in with the good horns and the sacks and everything. It's good.
Blues,
it's good,
man.
It's a little.
Tis
off
the season.
Path.
Tis the season. So, Willie, I wanted to do something now that we've been meaning to do for the past couple of days, but we just haven't gotten to it. And it's looking at the Titans roster for next season and which veterans should the Titans consider keeping past this season. So, I looked at all of the free agents on the team. There are four I would consider notable free agents. Kevin Zeitler, Chigakonkwo, Van Jefferson, and Arden Key. Those would be my four quote-unquote notable free agents. Mm-hmm. Would you consider keeping any of them?
Well, this is the central question, because I think we're going to be saying to ourselves is there's probably not a single guy on there that you're saying, we've got to keep this guy. We can't let this guy go.
There's so nobody standing on the table for those guys.
And at the same time, they have the money. We just we heard the Adam Schefter clip. They have more money than anybody in the league. So I think these are really interesting decisions on who do you want back. Because if you let them go, you have to go and get a free agent to replace a lot of them, right? Some could be replaced by rookies that you draft or maybe guys that you think behind the scenes are developing that you think could start. Like, I think of center at Corey Levin, right?
Mm-hmm. He's also a free agent.
So there's a decision. Is he – could he do the same thing that Cushenberry does for less the price? These are the questions you ask. I don't know all the ins and outs of – for example, Cushenberry's contract.
Mm-hmm. His contract.
Is he a guy that you definitely want back? He's been injured. He hasn't played great. Is he back for sure? But if you don't have him, then is it just Levin? What else are you going to do there? So I think you're going to find yourself in a dilemma for a lot of these names we're going
to
bring out.
If the Titans were to cut Lloyd Cushenberry pre-June 1st, they would save $3.475 million against the cap.
So, a savings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But they have a lot of money. Like, I don't know, can they possibly spend all the money that they have? Probably not. Mm-hmm. And there's not a long list of guys going, well, they've got to get so-and-so signed because he'll be a free agent next year, right? Who do they have anybody that fits that? I mean, maybe, I don't think even Skoronski is in that spot. Yet, right? Because they have the fifth-year option on him.
Yeah, they
so
can.
It's not like this summer they have to get a deal done with him.
Yeah, they don't have to get a deal done with Peter. Chig, I mean, if you can sign him back to a good number, because you're banking.
Chig is a huge one.
Yeah,
for me.
You're banking on Gunnar Helm to develop even more. Not saying you still can't have Chig on a roster.
Guy catches almost everything thrown in his direction.
So that's going to be one, because I think Chig would be able to go out on the market and get more money, not substantially more money that the Titans would get him, but I think there is a market for Chig, sort of like there was a market for, what was the other tight end that they had a few years ago that they didn't sign back?
Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith. There was a market for Jonnu Smith. He ended up signing a big contract with New England.
You know, a big contract.
And people thought, oh, he wasn't going to get that money. New England gave it to him. Now, did it work out for them? No. He went to Miami. It worked out in Miami.
If I remember correctly, John Robinson went to Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis and said, you know, we know what you guys think you're worth, and we think you're probably going to get a pretty good deal on the market, but we just can't go there. But in retrospect, that was a tough decision.
Yeah,
probably should have reconsidered that.
At least one of them.
Because they went
Corey
for Julio
Davis,
Jones,
I thought,
as we know.
Kept. Yeah, exactly. So Chig is the guy that I think he can get more on the open market, but I think it wouldn't hurt to sign him back to a contract. Because even if he get on the open market, he's not signing a huge deal.
And you don't have to go to Chig and say, hey, we need you to take the hometown discount. Because back then with Jonnu Smith, they did have cap issues, right? They were pushed up against the cap. They had a lot more good players. They had Derrick Henry. They had Ryan Tannehill. They had to pay those guys. This team is desperate for talent. So they can afford to overpay a little bit to keep some guys in the name of continuity. But you look at it, the offense is probably going to be different next year. Whoever's coming in is a new coach. So in theory, everybody's in their first year next year. So I think that creates a really tough dilemma for Mike Borgonzi.
Here are four cut candidates that I want us to discuss. Lloyd Cushenberry, Tony Pollard, Calvin Ridley, and Cody Barton.
See, Cody Barton, I really like. To me, that's a guy that I would keep. I like what he brings. I think he is a guy that would be worth bringing back. Pollard, I asked TD about on Monday, and I know he's a big fan of Tony Pollard. All of us admire his professionalism, and of course, he's playing very well right now.
Yes.
But he didn't bat an eye. He just said, look, they're probably going to cut him just based on what he's due next year. But I think that's another one. Do you want to keep him around as an overpaid guy for his production just to have some depth or something? You're still looking for the next guy, the more maybe the younger, more explosive, more dynamic guy. So you have the luxury of doing this. I think it's a unique situation because most of the time you're looking, where can I cut money? We got a lot of people we got to sign. Where can I cut down on my cap? The Titans don't have to do that.
No, they don't. So you're saying Cody Barton,
Lloyd Cushenberry, Tony Pollard, and Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley, I think you cut him. He's been injured too much. And it's not like
it hasn't worked.
Going to get better. Yeah, I think he's a good player, but he's just injury prone. And a young quarterback needs someone that's going to be in the lineup, not out of the lineup.
I'd be surprised if he were back.
So you cut him. Cody Barton, here's the thing with Cody Barton. They need to get faster at that unit. That unit needs to get faster. That position needs to get faster. And I'm not sure he fits the bill for them in regards. Is he a good player? Yes. Do the Titans need good players? Yes. So it's like almost, they can't afford to get rid of good players. But he's not a good player to a point where if you do move on from him, that you're going to like really miss him in that respect. You need to get faster, younger, and more physical. I know he's only 29 years old, I believe. But you need to get faster and more physical at that position. So Cody Barton would be a guy that you potentially cut. Or you find a trade partner and you trade him away. So there'll be a few guys. Who was the other guy you said?
Lloyd Cushenberry, Ridley, Pollard, Barton.
Where do you guys fall on Cushenberry?
I would cut Cushenberry because I think Levin can do just as good of a job for a fraction of the cost.
Here's the thing. I think Levin will get a bigger contract in the open market. I do believe that. Depending on what coach comes in here, then you decide whether you're going to keep, Levin or Cushenberry. Again, Cushenberry's been hurt. He's still working through, the Achilles. He's not 100%. He's still not.
He got another injury.
He's playing, then he has another injury. So you put Levin in there. Levin does well. The offense didn't miss a beat as far as running a football. It seemed like they got better, but then the next week, Cushenberry was in. They still continued to run well. But I look at it and I say, you may just be better off going with Corey Levin, a cheaper version, sign him to a contract maybe for 2 or 3 years and sort of move away from Cushenberry because, again, I think he's going to be more injured as you continue to go. He's going to be more injured than not.
Okay, one other theory on this. Levin, I think, can play guard, right? Is that a thought of Zeitler moving on at his age and you keep both Cushenberry and Levin and play Levin at guard, or is Levin more the prototypical center? I don't know. Because you definitely need that swing guy, that guy who can play different positions. You never have enough depth on the offensive line, and they do have enough money, probably, if they wanted to do it, to sign both of them.
Quickly, before we get to our phones, at running back, if they cut Tony Pollard, are you confident that Tajay Spears can be your lead back, or are you going back into free agency to find another Tony Pollard? And some of the of the running backs who are available in free agency include Najee Harris, Austin Eckler, Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams, Nick Chubb, Breece Hall.
Breece Hall.
Yes, Breece Hall is available.
Okay, if you're asking me.
Yes, I am asking.
As of today. As of today, love Pollard. Think he's a good player, but I think you can move on from him for this reason. If it's me, the third, fourth pick, I'm drafting Jeremiah Love.
Okay.
I'm sliding him in that position.
We did talk about this yesterday.
And we're off we go. Now we've upgraded the running back position tremendously with speed, versatility, can block. He can do all these things that you want your running back to do at a lesser price in a younger age. That's not saying anything about Pollard. Sure. I think Pollard's still a good player. But where this Titan team is at, is he realistically going to be in that new stadium with them?
No, definitely not. Yeah. And I think the other thing we have to look and see is what type of offense does the next coach like? Because a lot of coaches will take specialty kind of running backs. Give me two or three, one guy that does this, one guy that does that, and I've run an offense and it will cook right in my system. You know, he might want to cherry pick. Maybe he gets a guy from where he was before that knows exactly how to use him.
Quickly, let's go to Bob on our phone line. Bob, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, two people I was questioning about. One, since we got all the money, should we go ahead and lock up Big Jeff next year early? And then question, any chance we bring NWI back on the cheap? Because Miami is not using him at all.
Thank you for the call, Bob.
Well, he's right about Jeffrey. I think they'll try to get something done with Jeff. Once the season ends, they've already said it, that he's a part of them moving forward. So a part of that is re-signing them to a deal or adding some more years to it, restructuring it. NWI, it just depends on who comes in here as head coach. I'm not saying that he couldn't be your third or fourth receiver, but does the next coach want him here or would want him here? I don't know.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, who host the Chiefs on Sunday. We'll wrap up the show and the week by taking it to the bank. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you as we wrap up a wonderful week. And as we do every Friday at 5:45, we are going to take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank. Business is complicated. Banking doesn't have to be. F&M Bank, visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. Before we get to our picks this week, and Willie Donick is in charge of our two common questions, let's go to David James, who will recap last week.
All right, boys. So first off, let's go to the first couple of general questions. Last week we said, will the difference between the winner and the runner-up for the Heisman be more or less than 50 points? Unfortunately, it was a bad day to be a Diego Pavia. So D-Mace was the only one that said it out of all of us. Yeah, we get it. Calm yourself down. and then the next one was, will Cam Ward have a completion percentage of 62% over under? It was at 62%.
It was 62.9. I thought it was 62.1.
It was 62.1.
Yes,
point
it was 62.1.
So me and Willie, we got the points.
Yes. Dang it.
Shout out to Willie.
I was on the calculator.
It was 62.
As soon as I came in, I was on the calculator.
Same. I was like, all right, let's see.
I was like, yes.
It was 62.06, so 62.1.
Zero.
That rounds up. It rounds up.
It rounds up. Again, it's still not under 62, so that's all that matters. And now, so let's go to the regular picks. So, Adam, I'm going to start with you. You said the Bills would win by a field goal.
They did.
They did. So you got a point for that.
You know somebody in Vegas.
It wasn't easy, but they did.
But they did. And then you said Duke Miles would score over or over 20 points. He only scored 6.
Yeah, he did not have a good game.
So you only got 3 points for 65 total points.
All right, all right.
Now let's go to Willie. Willie, you said Phillip Rivers would throw a touchdown pass.
Yes.
That did happen.
Yes.
And then you said the Lions plus 6,
whoops,
and that didn't happen.
Wah, 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 wah.
For a total of.
Got outgunned.
5 points.
Out,
all right.
Man.
I feel like degree of difficulty.
That's what
because
I'm saying.
When I picked Phillip Rivers,
we
didn't even know if he was going to play.
Hey, Willie, I gave you 4 points.
No,
for that.
No, I'm not complaining. Oh, okay, I'm just flexing.
I thought you wanted more points.
I legitimately thought he wanted more points. That's how much been.
You sound like Adam over here, man. Want more points.
But he was happy for the points. That's all that matters.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Because you're in the lead. That's why you're good.
Now, D-Mace. You said under Bills versus Pats, that did not happen. They had 60-plus points.
Gosh, yeah, they decided to score a lot of points.
And then you said Cam Ward would throw a touchdown, and it would be over 200 yards passing for his whole completion.
I'll let y'all goat me into that one.
Listen, hey, listen. Bullying works sometimes for the betterment of us, but not for the betterment of you, teammates. You've experienced what Adam had to experience.
Yes.
In the beginning of the year.
Man.
So you only got 1 point.
Oh, I take the one.
For
one
a total
is better
of 59 points.
I'm still in the game.
Now, I don't really want to read what I picked because I picked the Memphis thing, and Memphis did not do well. But I got 1 point for the week just for a total of 64. So, Adam, you took over second place.
Hot diggity.
I'm very upset about that.
Okay. Well, let's see what happens now. Willie Donick, question number one.
All right. Question number one is simple. Is this the week? Is this the week that the Titans break the
11-game
home
losing
streak? Is this the week? The Chiefs, they're depleted. Their quarterback's hurt. They're out of it. They have scratched 9 guys. 9. They're still an underdog, the Titans, by 3 points. But take away the point spread. Are they going to win? Adam?
Ooh. You know what? This goes against every fiber in my being, but damn it, I say yes. I say
wow.
The Tennessee Titans will
you
do it.
The Titans are going
wow.
To
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Wow. I say yes. I don't like it, but I'm doing it. Derek?
Titans hadn't played well at home, man. They hadn't scored many points. Gosh.
It's going to be a chief. I do
and
wonder,
the weather. What's the weather going to be? The weather probably is bad. No, it's been, weather may be all right come Sunday. But I think they're going to do it. I think the Titans are going to win their first home game of the season. It wouldn't be the first in the season?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be the first of the season.
The Patriots
exactly.
game last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, you're right. So I think they win their first home game of the season.
Sunny and 54 degrees.
Yeah.
People will be there.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
And the Titans
Chiefs
will win.
Fans.
That's for sure.
So Derek and
well,
I.
Well, the Chiefs fans might be depressed, but they probably already bought the tickets.
Yeah,
right.
You're right.
Right.
But they'll be there.
So Derek and I are doing it.
Yes.
Willie?
Do I hold suit with you guys or do I go against the grain?
What do Coach Willie say?
I got to go with my head. I got to make my own decision. I can't be influenced by you guys.
You sure? Coach Willie?
Do we got
to
bully you?
They've got to win. They've got to win this game. The Chiefs are just not going to care.
But?
Gardner Minshew. I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Oh,
David.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
This is the bad part about this. They have to win. The Titans should win. But Gardner Minshew, I mean, that mustache, it's magical. So
the magical mustache.
I'm going with Gardner Minshew. And the
all
Chiefs.
Right, we're split down the middle.
He
two for the Titans and two for the Chiefs.
Okay, the other one, Vanderbilt, a big game at Wake Forest, trying to more or less clinch an undefeated preseason or non-conference portion of the schedule. They average 10.5 three-pointers made per game. Against Memphis the other night, they went 6-for-31 from three.
Not good.
They missed a lot of shots that they normally make. So, will they get back to form on the road where it's harder to shoot at Wake Forest. Wake Forest, pretty good opponent. So over or under their average three-pointers made as a team, 10.5.
Vanderbilt has the same offensive rating on KenPom as Duke. That's impressive.
Ooh.
Have we got your attention, Adam? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Adam's noticing another team besides Duke?
I noticed That's many crazy. Other teams. I will say under. I will say under 10.5.
Okay.
They will make – oh, man. They average 10.5 makes.
Yep.
God, they shot bad the other day.
Six for 31.
Wake Forest doesn't pressure like Memphis does. I think Wake Forest will try to play more zone, but then again,
they probably watch that tape and they might think about it.
You're right.
Yeah.
But I'm going with the Commodores to hit 10 or more three-pointers. Going with the Commodores.
Okay. So you're saying
they will hit
over 10.5.
Over.
Okay.
Yes.
I will go under.
Wow.
David, tough on the road. I just think that
Coach Willie,
they'll hit some, but I think they're going to need to get to the free throw line. They better play better than they did against Memphis.
Oh yeah, definitely.
They have to. I mean, especially how bad Memphis has been playing recently. But you know, Willie, I know Coach Willie speak right there for your Commodores. But you know what? I have faith in the Commodores will bounce back. Give me the over.
Okay. All right. To our individual selections, I'm going to start in the NFL. A big game in the NFC South. The 7-7 Bucks. At the 7-7 Panthers. Big game. Bucks favored by 3 on the road. Give me the Panthers. Give me the Panthers to beat the Buccaneers at home at Bank of
America
Stadium.
You're jumping on the Panther bandwagon.
I don't know about that. But the Bucks have been struggling
lately.
And
the former Panther, Baker Mayfield, coming to town. Remember,
yes.
He was actually on the Panthers?
Yes. You heard what – is it? It's Todd Bowles, right? He's the coach of the Bucks.
Todd Bowles.
You heard what Todd Bowles said about his team the other day. Called those players out.
So he did.
The Bucks are scuffling here. The Bucks have lost. The Bucks have lost 5 of 6. So I will take the Panthers to win that game, and I am going to call for an upset in the first round of the college football playoff. No, not Tulane over Ole Miss. No, not JMU over Oregon. I am taking Miami to defeat Texas A&M on the road.
Wow.
Okay.
Remember that for degree of difficulty.
Okay, I'm going to go sort of out the box here. Well, it's in the box, but not something I would normally pick. But because
so you're
kind of
on the outskirts of the box. You're touching the box.
Touching the box.
You're not outside the box.
Yeah. But I'm going to go with this game, Cincinnati-Miami. I think Quinn Ewers comes in and he throws for more than 200 yards with 2 touchdowns, and Miami wins. That's my first one. That's
all
a lot of degree of death.
All
of those things have to happen.
Are we in crazy town right now?
That's
how you're going to get back in the contest.
That's a big degree of difficulty.
No, it is.
Total touchdowns or passing touchdowns?
Total touchdowns.
Okay, so 200 yards, two total touchdowns,
and Miami wins.
Okay.
Okay, because Cincinnati is in disarray.
That is a degree of difficulty game right there.
And then I'm going to stay here locally. The Tennessee Titans. I've already picked them to win, but I think Cam has the game that people want him to have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He will have over 230 yards passing, at least 1 touchdown, and obviously I said they would. And he will have more than 10 yards rushing.
What?
What kind of game is that?
That's not going to have anybody buzzing.
No. Yes, it will. Or more than 240 yards.
You said 230.
10 yards rushing?
I want more than 250
no,
yards.
No, y'all ain't goading me.
I want more than 250
yards. Y'all ain't goading me.
He added a lot to it.
Y'all not goading me into picking going higher. Wait, I'm staying right where I said
you
I was
said,
going to
let
be.
Me make, let me get this straight. You said 230 yards.
No, 240.
Okay, 240 yards, a touchdown, and 10 rushing yards?
Yes. That's a big game.
That's not a big game.
Yes, that is.
That's an okay game.
Get that's out not an okay game.
Get
that's
out
a medium-sized game.
I am not allowing y'all. Y'all are not going to pressure me into picking more yards.
First and foremost, like, for what we've seen with Cam Ward, that's a big game.
Exactly.
Okay. Willie, David, quickly.
All right, I will take Alabama plus the 1.5 to win on the road tonight at Oklahoma. And just for fun. Mm-hmm. Just with our little theories, D-Mace, I will say Tulane will cover.
Oh,
plus 17 okay, and a half. Like Ole Miss will be a little sloppy, trying to adjust to the new coaches. They may not be sharp. Maybe they'll get a little nervous. Tulane will hang around. Give me the 17 and a half.
All right, David.
All right, so I'm going to go with Isaiah Horton for the Alabama will catch a touchdown pass. And I think Marcel Reed would throw for two touchdowns.
All right. That'll do it for us this week. Wonderful participation all week long. Congratulations to all of you who won Music City Bowl tickets. That was fun to do. We will be back on Monday. Derek and I will be live at the Circa Sportsbook Kentucky inside the Mint Gaming Hall. So catch us there. We'll recap the Titans game against the Chiefs, the first round of the college football playoff. We've got a lot to get to. Nick Saban addressing reporters, new Minority Predators owner. So we've got a lot to talk about, and we will do it all Monday starting at 3 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will definitely not forget about you. See you Monday at 3 p.m. in Kentucky. But we will be on this station, 102.5 The Game. Peace.